cults over here.
Cults over there.
There are cults
everywhere.
And we're going to tell you all about it with a fairy tale twist.
Welcome to
Once Upon a Cult.
Once upon a time, there was a group of people who were like, you know what? If plants can do it, so can I. I can take in nutrients from the sun. I don't have to eat. I can breathe in my light, and I will be a breatharian.
Oh, I'm so full.
Do you think the Sanderson sisters would be considered breatharians? Ooh.
Ooh. Oh.
What? Those are the sounds they make. So, culties, we're talking about the breatharians. This one, I'm going to be a little honest. It took me on a ride because when I first heard about this, I was like, this is silly. How can anybody believe in this? And then we got into it and heard some kind of evidence, I'll say, kind of heard different people's stories. And it's kind of like, huh. And then I kind of, I won't say where I landed until the end.
I mean, it's unique because there's just so many people involved, or I guess like famous people, not famous, but like notable people involved in this.
It's very like it takes twists and turns.
Yeah.
But before we get too into that, my name's Sean.
I'm Alan.
And we're here to talk about breatharians and stuff.
Breatharians.
Breatharians.
Mmm, son.
So this all started with, I love this title. Shall we give them the title to this book?
Oh, yeah, it's easy to remember.
It just rolls off the tongue. Dick Gregory's Natural Diet for Folks Who Eat, Cooking with Mother Nature.
Yes.
So I don't remember the actual date, but this was written, I think, in the 60s.
1972.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. Oh, I do have 1972 here. I guess that's why I put that there.
Yeah.
So this book came out, and it talked about not so much not eating, but just eating more naturally.
Yeah, it talked about, like, different types of eaters. There's, like, the normal ones that, you know, will eat everything, and then there's also another group, kind of like vegetarians, more like the healthier eaters. And then it also mentions breatharians as, like, a third category. And this is kind of one of the first times this term was kind of mentioned in to people. So and just to preface as well too, it wasn't really talking about like, oh, you should join the breatharian movement. It was just like, this is another type of diet that people can consume as well.
Yeah, so it kind of put those three food patterns or groups on a scale, saying, like, basically, if you just want to eat everything in sight, you're basically just a big fat American. that is not as healthy, just eating.
Yeah.
And then it talked about how vegetarians kind of, like, the next goal, like, up from just eating everything. And then, yeah, breatharianism was kind of like a last part of the road. Like, if you can get there, you've reached food enlightenment. Mm-hmm. So this book kind of came out. It didn't really make a lot of big waves because we like to eat, but I love this name so much. I love it so much. This man found the book, Wiley Brooks. Mm-hmm. Wiley Brooks. He just sounds like a crook. Like,
yeah.
He's out to get the Roadrunner, this Wiley Brooks.
Yeah.
So Wiley Brooks, he kind of found this book and rose to fame in 1981. And he started making claims that he hadn't eaten in 17 years because he had followed Dick Gregory's book.
Yeah, he kind of came into notoriety because he was on this show on ABC called That's Incredible. and he was shown lifting barbells that were 10 times his body weight. And yeah, he's like, yeah, I can do this, but I haven't eaten in like 17 years.
Yeah. Well, on top of that, before he put out this claim, he had earlier claimed, years earlier, that you should only eat yellow food.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm trying not to giggle, but I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You can only eat yellow food because, do you want to know the really deep reason why?
Why?
Because yellow food has the best vibration.
Yes, because I I didn't know my foods could vibrate.
I eat vibrators all the time. So it's interesting, though, that he says he hasn't eaten in 17 years, but only a few years earlier he put out this claim that yellow food is the best.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently it's claimed to detoxify the body. Mm-hmm. But did you get, so there's a list of foods that you can eat. Did you happen to see what those foods were?
I remember you mentioned it. Go for it, girl.
Okay, so it would include things like eggs, corn, grapefruit.
That's not yellow.
I know. Papaya. But my favorite one is rum raisin ice cream from Häagen-Dazs.
It's very
not any other rum raisin ice cream, but it has to be from Häagen-Dazs.
They vibrate more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just something to hold in your back pocket there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple claims coming out pretty close together. But, yeah, he hadn't eaten in 17 years, apparently. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, the book came out in 1972. And this is 1981.
Yeah.
Which is less than 17 years.
Apparently, when you're under this, you can't do math.
Yeah. So then Wiley teams up with Nancy Foss, mm-hmm. and together they publish Breatharianism, Breathe and Live Forever.
Yes.
So this is where it gets maybe just a little bit more into the cult world. In the early 80s, somebody who I love and respect, well, I guess let's hold off on saying who she is.
Okay.
We can get into some of the beliefs, and then we'll talk about this famous actress who was briefly a breatharian. Mm-hmm. Cool. So a lot of this you can find on lightdocumentary.com. It's apparently been on YouTube. We couldn't find it this time, except for behind a paywall. But there are really cool documentaries on YouTube you can watch. So apparently this is based on the patron saint of Switzerland. This is where this idea kind of came from. And what the focus is, in a nutshell, is we have to get energy to live. We get our energy from food. Our body processes the food, and then we have a bowel movement to get out any waste that we haven't processed. Mm-hmm. So the idea here is that our prana can get energy from elsewhere besides just food. And prana, I think for me, what I know more so of prana is chi energy or ki energy. Mm-hmm. That's the more popular, in my opinion, term that I find. But what breatharians believe is that you can basically like do different breathing techniques, or you can go into the sun and get energy from the sun, so that way you don't have to eat. That way you don't have to poop. That way you don't have to pee. You mm-hmm. can just live a healthy lifestyle without the constraints of food or sometimes even water.
Yeah, and their argument too is like, well, if plants can do this through like photosynthesis, and like we could do this too.
Yeah.
But like, in addition to like, yeah, photosynthesis, plants also get nutrients from soil and water too.
And I mean, you can argue that people don't have leaves, true. Which are made to soak up the sunlight and turn it into energy.
Yep.
So you can leave me alone with that argument. Oh,
I knew that was coming.
Oh, but I'll be wow. Okay, fine. So also there's sun gazing is what it's actually called when you are looking into the sun and gathering energy.
Yeah.
So if you ever see someone just standing still or sitting still looking into the sun, then you can kind of be like, hey, eat a sandwich.
Just hanging in front of their face. And like...
Yeah. So, sorry. Now that we kind of have a roadmap of what this group is, let's return to our story, shall we?
Yeah.
So the beautiful, the enigmatic, the wonderful, can you tell she's like one of my top favorite actresses? Michelle Pfeiffer was brought into this group in the early 80s. I think she was in her early 20s. And she said right away the group that she was a part of were bugging her for money every time she was there. They just constantly wanted money from her. Mm-hmm. And then her husband, I'm not sure if they're still married now, was a director. And he did a movie about a cult. And Michelle Pfeiffer's like, oh shit, I'm in a cult. This is a cult. So that's how she realized that she was being taken advantage of, and that's what made her leave the group.
Yeah. Yeah, she was. So the documentary that Peter Horton, her husband, or her husband, eventually was, it turned out to be her husband, was doing a documentary on a group called the Moonies, which are the followers of the Reverend Moon Sun Myung group. Mm-hmm. For the Unification Church. And yeah, she was talking to an ex-Mooney, and he was basically describing like the psychological manipulation that he experienced while he was in this group. And she's like, yeah, like that's what I'm experiencing right now.
Yeah.
So that's great that she got through that and was able to, I guess, fate kind of had her meet this person before, you know, things got worse.
Well, and what's interesting about that, I've talked about this on the show before, but this is more for people maybe just tuning in for this episode or who hadn't heard the earlier episodes. I have a friend who joined a group, I believe it was called Worldworks, and I could tell from the outside looking in, I was like, this isn't good. Like, mm-hmm. They kept telling him, you know, it's just going to go to this point and then you're free, or it's just going to go here and you'll attain your learning. And suddenly it turned into, well, we can't let you graduate unless you bring somebody else into the group. Mm-hmm. So it turned into like, you can't go on this trip to Vegas with everybody unless you bring somebody in.
Yeah.
So he got really upset with me because I wouldn't join, even though he had promised me not to try to force me into it. Mm-hmm. And so for years after he left this group, he would not admit that it was a cult. I even showed him online, like, look, if you look up Worldworks, a lot of people say it's a cult. And then he overheard us doing an episode of Once Upon a Cult, and he came to me after. He's like, oh shit, I was in a cult. And I was like, yeah. So you don't always know, because it's like we've said many times on this show, no group comes to you with bad intentions.
Yeah.
They don't tell you like, hey, want to join our cult so we can take advantage of you.
Yeah. And I think it's also a tough pill to swallow if you are in a cult and you're like, because you think like, oh, I would never join a cult. That's not mm-hmm. me. But like, you never know.
Yeah, you never know. Because something we always say on the show, which I really will fight for, is cults look for people on all different levels. Mm-hmm. They'll target people who are low on funds. They'll target people who are looking for enlightenment. So you'll have, especially if you watch the NXIVM documentaries on HBO, you'll see that a lot of people who joined NXIVM were very educated people who were looking for that next thing. So they were being put together with other educated people and getting new ideas and new exciting things. Yeah. So I think it's a shame factor, like you say. Nobody wants to admit that they were part of a cult, but I think we need to take that shame away and just accept that anybody at any time in their life, depending on how high or low they are at that point in their life, they can be inducted into a cult.
Yeah. And around this time, too, with Mr. Wiley Brooks's group, like around the 80s, that's when it's like a booming era where there were a lot of like the fad diet craze.
There were so many fads. Everybody was fat.
That, and also spiritualism. Sorry, I can't talk right now.
Yeah.
Spiritualism, like those two was basically like what this group it was. So like, of course people would be interested because that's a phase at this time.
Yeah, I know. There are so many fad diets. Fad. I'm always hearing people talking about the next thing that they're trying. Do you think we're coming to a point where we would see a resurgence in breatharianism because of all the kind of religious backlash we're going through with our politics?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, also with like banks crashing, people are trying to probably find ways of easy money.
True.
And you know, that's also another type of bait. Some of these groups tend to attract people.
Yeah. So so there's not really a clear cut storyline, I'll say, to this group. We're gonna do, I say this a lot lately, we're gonna do things a little differently. Last episode we had kind of someone who hadn't heard about the group so much with Jesse. This time we decided we're going to go through different people who have represented the breatharian movement and kind of talk about individual stories, which will help us as the host and help you as the culty listener kind of see the whole picture and kind of decide the bigger picture here of what's going on.
Yeah.
So here's my favorite. So let's kind of go back to our Wiley Brooks.
Yeah.
So in the mid-80s, Wiley Brooks was with Levine Leffler. Something went sour there. They broke up. And then Levine came out and said, hey, the whole time my man over there not eating for 17 years? No, no. I was sneaking him food into the bedroom.
Yeah.
And it was mostly, like, stuff from 7-Eleven and, like, junk food, like donuts.
Yeah, he relied a lot. I mean, supposedly, he relied a lot on things that were open late. So, yeah, he went to places like 7-Eleven because that's when people didn't see him get food at night.
Well, and you have to remember, too, this is a time when cell phones weren't everywhere, so not as many people are going to recognize him out on the street, and B, not as many people are going to have a personal camera in their pocket. But there were pictures of him leaving a 7-Eleven, and other members claimed that they had seen him leaving a 7-Eleven, and also other members said that they would spot food in the trash can in his room.
Yeah.
So my thing is, if I'm going to not eat, I'm not going to go to 7-Eleven. I'm going to get something good, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you're right, he did rely on places that were open late. And then 7-Eleven, I mean, I don't know if you know, they're open 24 hours.
Yeah, they're open 7 days a week, 11 hours a day. Just kidding.
Is that where they make it?
Yeah, but he does have an alibi for some of these accusations. He said that he was just getting food for his friends.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So this obviously put a big damper in our Mr. Wiley Brooks.
Yeah.
People didn't trust him so much.
No.
But culties, don't worry. If you're like me and you giggle whenever you hear the name Wiley Brooks because it sounds so shady, we will have more on him before this show is over. I love Mr. Brooks. All right, let's jump over to, should we talk about Jazz Mahin?
Yeah.
So Jazz Mahin showed up, was it kind of like mid-90s she came on the scene?
Yeah, she came into prominence around the late 1990s. She goes by Jazz Mahin, but her birth name is Ellen Grieve. And she's from New South Wales in Australia, born to post-war Norwegian migrant parents. And, she was born in the 1950s, 1957, I believe. Yes, 1957. So she didn't come into prominence until the late 1990s. And she had claimed that she lived on water and tea for 2 years, but she also practiced breatharism for 11 years. So I don't know what that means.
So I think what we'll see here and what was kind of talked about, just to put this out there, is they kind of talked about breatharianism as on a scale. Mm-hmm. Like some people do eat some food, some people drink water, tea, and some people just apparently go with nothing.
Yeah.
So on the scale, that may be why Jazz Mahin said that, because maybe she went from like very minimal eating, because they talked about how eventually she would eat like 300 calories a day. So I wonder if it was something more like that, and then she went from that to like nothing.
Yeah.
But this is a little alarming to me, what we start getting from Jazz Mahin, because she talks about it as you need to fight past the hunger pains and dry mouth and lack of energy. So what I get from this is your body's telling you, I need this stuff. And she's saying, you don't. You just need to ignore it. Ignore what your body is telling you.
Because apparently that's what, like, the toxins in your body are, like, getting out of your body. So, just ignore it and it'll get better.
Yeah, and there's even one lady who, I guess we'll get to her in a little bit, but I'll just throw this out there now, where she was actually, like, coughing up black gunk from her mouth for not eating.
That's bad.
That's really bad. And then it said that after 2 weeks of no eating or drinking, you're allowed to drink water or tea. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And let's talk about this a little bit here, because I understand to a certain extent what we're talking about here. A lot of these people, including Jasmine Heen, are like, I want to find a better way for people to live without having to eat. But at the same time, I like to eat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want to get too much into, like, body parts or anything, but we do have, like, a butt and a urethra to, like, expel wastes, right? our bodies made to, like, consume things and excrete it out.
Yeah.
So biology is telling us, yeah, we need to eat something.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point. We have a very intricate and system in which to take in and expel waste.
Yeah.
You could even say most of our body, because the intestine is a huge chunk of our body, is just for the ingesting and getting rid of food and energy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a little weird. That's why going into this, I was just like, how can you say we don't need food? This is so odd.
Yeah. Well, there's another character that we'll talk about, but one of their, like, aha moments was like, well, if we can actually achieve this, then we could eliminate world hunger.
Yeah.
Which, like, yeah, I mean, essentially, yeah, that would be great, but again, we're made to consume food.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out, though. I think Mr. Wiley Brooks comes up with the best answer
that
anyone can follow, but we'll get to him. So Jasmine Heen, so she's telling people, hey, I've been doing this, it works, you just got to get through the first 2 weeks and then you're good. Unfortunately, while Jasmine Heen was coming into prominence and really getting her message out there, we did have a few tragedies. In 1997, Timo Deegan, a 31-year-old kindergarten teacher, slipped into a coma and actually died.
Yeah.
From trying to follow this. A few years later, Lonnie Morris, this is the one I was speaking about, she started vomiting a dark liquid and then she died.
Yeah, and she was living with a breatharian couple, and they were the ones that were encouraging her, like, what's happening right now is, yeah, this is the old spirit leaving your body, that black liquid coming out of you, that's what I'm talking about as well, too. So, like, they were egging her on and just like, it's fine.
I like how you said egging about someone who wasn't eating. Like, that's really insincere of you.
Sorry.
But, yeah, so unfortunately, that is how this goes with any group. If you're with other people doing something unhealthy, it is unfortunate that they pushed her to keep on doing this despite her body telling her this is wrong.
Yeah. And, like, the messed up part about these was so Jasmine Heen was confronted about these deaths.
Oh, wait, I got more.
Oh, there's one more. Okay.
Verity Lynn died in Scotland from the program. Mm-hmm. And then lastly was Anna Gutt.
Anna Gutt.
Yeah.
Really ironic.
Yeah, I know. Don't you think?
Yeah, so after these deaths, she responded basically saying that the reason why they weren't successful in this is because they didn't come from a place of integrity and they just weren't motivated enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's very culty, something we've seen, where the leader pushes it back on the members and says, I told you the right way, but you didn't fully believe or you weren't fully prepared.
Yeah.
So it's their fault they died. Mm-hmm. Around this time, Jasmine Heen was obviously getting a lot of flack. So she put a disclaimer on her website telling people to not try the program if they don't feel they have the divine spirit.
Yes.
Wow. The nerve.
Yeah. You're not cool enough, so.
Right.
Yeah. But this also, so all these deaths and, like, her being linked to it now, caused her to get attention on in through the media. And 60 Minutes, the TV show that we kind of all know, did a piece where they actually wanted to test to see if this program is successful, if people can actually do it. So they had her at like a home where they surveillanced her. They put her under surveillance to prove.
Mind you, at this point, Jasmine Hina is claiming she's been doing this for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's no big deal. I can do this on TV.
Yeah.
Sorry, go for it.
So, and a physician was there as well, too, to make sure, you know, she was healthy and her vitals were good. But yeah, right away, like after day two, the physician warned her that she was dehydrated. But in response to that, Jasmine Hina said, well, it's because I'm in the city and there's a lot of pollutants in the air. So they ended up moving her out of the city, thinking that, you know, that'll help. But then days on, she ended up losing around like 13 pounds. She also saw an increase in her in her pulse as well, too. And then she was experiencing around 11% dehydration. She was at risk of kidney failure. So for her health, 60 Minutes canceled the production. So, you know, that kind of shows that, like, you can't do this.
Yeah, so the question comes up, if you've been doing this for years, how come suddenly when you're put on camera and doing this, your body just goes crazy?
Yeah.
And so some people came out of the woodwork and said, fuck you, 60 Minutes, you stopped the experiment. Like, yeah, this is all part of the process that she's been doing for years, but you stopped it and it ruined it.
Yeah.
And then other people were like, duh, she hasn't been doing it. You can't live this way.
Yeah.
There were also reports that, I can't believe I'm even saying this. There were reports that there was food found in her refrigerator.
Oh.
I know.
Well, she did claim, though, that you are able to eat things that you're craving.
I think in this case, she's like, that's my husband's food. It's not mine. So I just, I get a little upset and confused as to why lie about something like this.
Yeah.
It's obviously, it just seems like it's for the money, really.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that later. Shall we talk about, I love this name, Naveena Shine?
Well, before we get into that, okay, and speaking about money, so she does regularly hold retreats worldwide, and the cost of attending them is $1,500.
Oh, that's cheap.
Yeah. I mean, you're saving all that money from not eating, so you can spend it on retreats like this.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Okay, I'm done.
All right. So I love this name, Naveena Shine. Shall we get into her?
Yeah.
So Naveena is the founder of Living on Light, and she decided she's going to document herself not eating or drinking. Naveena at this time, in 2014, is a 65-year-old woman. She just seems like the sweetest little thing. I really want a granny Naveena because she just seems so nice. Mm-hmm. But she basically drained her finances and stopped working in order to set up cameras around her home and set up a website so people could watch her day or night practicing breatharianism and not eating, just eating, right? Because she drinks eventually.
Yeah, she claims, so she did in the beginning drink water and I believe tea as well too, but she ended up saying that like her stomach started getting like some sort of digestion issue where she couldn't even drink water anymore.
Yeah, she said she felt she was drinking too much water, yeah, and it was like giving her issues.
Yeah.
So, and some people around this time kind of gave her crap because I guess she was starting to take like a vitamin C supplement and she was putting cream in her tea.
Yeah.
How dare she? So the cameras were on 24 hours. She lost a lot of money on this. By day one, she had lost 21 pounds. So a pound a day, mm-hmm, doing this. And that's not healthy. You're supposed to, I believe it's like a pound a week or something like that. It's a very slow process to lose weight in a healthy way.
Yeah.
And so she told her body, hey, you need to stop losing weight. So Navina was really in this mind space of that you can control your body through thought. And it's funny, I just realized, like, the way I've been talking about Wiley Brooks or Jasmine, I've been kind of joking around, but when we get to Navina, I'm very serious, because I really like her.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she started getting viewers to ask her to stop due to health issues. And she said, nope, I'm going to 100 days. That's my goal. I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. So along this path, you can really see the weight coming off of Navina and her face. And you can see her skin go very pallid from where she started.
Yeah.
But she still seemed in good spirits until about, I'd say, halfway through, probably about day 25 to 30. She started getting a lot of negativity because people are like, you don't look good, you're going to kill yourself, you need a doctor, you need to eat. She had very few people actually giving her support at this point. And she had put up like a donate link on her site, and she wasn't getting many people donating to her like she thought she would. So yeah. It was getting harder and harder for her to live.
Mm-hmm.
So, towards the end, her body actually started cannibalizing itself. So it started taking muscle mass and using that to keep her going.
Mm-hmm.
So about day 44, Navina decided that this is the universe telling me that this is dangerous. She basically said, even if I keep going and prove that you can do this, it's too difficult. She actually said it's like putting a shotgun in a baby's hand.
Yeah.
Because if you don't do this right, you can die.
Yeah. Yeah. So even in the end, she didn't admit saying that, like, this is a wrong thing to do. It was just, this is something she couldn't do. So she still gave hope that, like, this is something some people can do, but just she couldn't.
Yeah.
Was her thing.
Yeah. And I respect that. I think that's a nice way to put it, is like, she recognizes it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
She had also been inspired by earlier people like Jasmine also. So I think she's also showing the respect to Jasmine, like, maybe you can do this, yeah, but it's dangerous and it's not for me.
Yeah. And I can no longer afford to do this too.
Yeah, because she hadn't been working at all for like a month, yeah, and a half.
I wonder how that goes, like, if an employer's like, so what have you been done for the past 44 days?
So luckily, I was actually really concerned with this because Alan had watched the rest of the documentary by himself. And I was like, can you just tell me if we get an answer to Navina? I just want to know if we at least get to know what happens to her. She actually put out a video a few weeks after the experiment saying, like, she's doing well. She had come back into health. So it does have a kind of happy ending for our Navina.
Yeah. And also, because it's interesting because the whole thing is about, like, you know, consuming and light. During this whole experiment that she did, she never left her house.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like she's stuck at home.
I would go crazy. Remember, yeah, when I had COVID and I was stuck in a hotel?
Yeah.
I went crazy. I mean, I know for her it's different because she could walk about outside and she's not stuck in just a room.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it still gets lonely.
Yeah.
Lonely. I didn't have my Ellen.
No.
It was all by me feeling. I didn't wear clothes for like 5 days. Sorry, hotel room. So that's kind of the end of Navina's journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes us to one of the bigger names in breatharianism, Prahlad Jani.
Yes.
So it's said that with Jani, that it was he was born and blessed by three goddesses who put a hole in his mouth that dripped nutrients into it.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because, like, with that claim, wouldn't they, like, instead of, because we're going to talk about, like, some of the experiments, I guess, that they kind of place on him, but can't they just look at his mouth and see if there's a hole?
Thank you.
Right?
Thank you.
Like, no hole. This is fake.
just love, you just said no hole. What is happening to us on the show? So, yeah, so he puts out a claim that he has had no food or water for 65 years.
Yes.
65 freaking years.
65 years with a hole in your mouth.
With a hole in his mouth. He's got more holes than the average man.
Yeah.
So he comes forward as being like a big name because of this. And so he was actually placed in, I'm trying to think of how to say it. So he condoned to being placed in a hospital, not for health reasons, but for surveillance reasons. Mm-hmm. So he was told that, or he allowed for people to observe him around the clock while he did not eat, drink, or use the toilet.
Yeah. Which is weird.
Yeah. So this is what I'm talking about. We see kind of a back and forth here where we see some that are just ridiculous and we see others that are like, huh. Mm-hmm. So let's go through this. So it said that he was able to do this for, I believe, was it 7 days?
I believe 10 days.
10 days.
Yeah.
So it said that he's able to not eat, drink, or use the restroom for 10 days.
Yeah.
So it's like, at this point, you're kind of like, wow, so is it real?
Yeah.
Until we start picking it apart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's proven that one of the doctors involved in the experiment was actually a doctor who was supporting claims of multiple breatharians. Like, he was also a buddy of Jasmine Heen.
Mm-hmm.
He was also a buddy of Wiley Brooks. And then when people dug in more, they were kind of like, yeah, we have 24-hour surveillance, but nobody's gone through the surveillance.
Yeah. And, like, also some of the claims is that, like, well, he also wasn't under surveillance when he showered or used the bathroom. Or, I don't know, he showered, really.
Yeah.
So, like, their thought is, well, maybe, like, some water splash in their mouth.
Yeah, one claim was, like, he took a bath and nobody measured, like, how much water was there when he got in and how much was there when he got out.
Yeah.
So they think maybe he was drinking water that way.
Or he could have peed in the bath.
True.
Right?
Oh, that's another thing they said. Ew.
The ultrasound thing?
Well, they claimed that he did produce urine, but then it would, like, metabolize into his body and, like, refresh him.
Yeah. But urine's toxic to your body.
What? I know.
Yeah.
So apparently he has, like, a urine Brita filter inside him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where it's, like, I don't see any viable proof that this is a thing.
Like, yeah.
It's... You can't.
Just look in his mouth.
I know. I mean, it seems like breatharianism has kind of changed over the years, because we heard about a Pranic World Festival, which still happens, where people gather to hear from other celebrity breatharians. One thing that I thought it was really funny is food is served at this event.
Yeah. They're like, we don't want any ambulances or to show up at the event. I'm like, they even know.
They even know.
Yeah.
But I guess a lot of modern breatharians do various things like smoothies, broths, like liquidy type stuff. So they're still getting nutrients. They're just not getting it from food.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like, well, is that really breatharianism? Or are you just on
an extreme diet? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're juicing, basically.
Yeah, basically. So, should we get back to my favorite, my Mr. Wiley Brooks?
Yeah, or since we talked about the Pranic World Festival, there is one coming up this year.
Oh.
Yeah, August 1st through 12th in Cacore, Italy, I think that's how you say it. And if you are interested, for 12 days it costs, it's actually not that bad, it's 230 euros for a 12-day retreat.
That's not bad.
Yeah, or festivals, what they're calling it. Or, you know, if Italy's too far, you can also do it online for 49 euros.
Oh.
Yeah.
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 So I would say there's no quick answer to losing weight. I mean, I would check out friend of the pod, Vicky, Keto Victoria, on Instagram, because she had a lot of success with keto. someone like me, I don't think keto's the answer, so I've tried to take more to Peloton, which I've been on and off lately. I need to get back on.
And some people also consider as a cult.
Yeah, yeah. So I think there's different ways, but it seems like this may not be the answer.
Or also, I mean, consult your doctor as well, too, if you do want to consider something like this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a good point. Any type of diet that you're going to go on, because Vicky is good about seeing her doctor.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Wiley Brooks has resurfaced, and he said that he still believes in breatharianism with kind of a little twist.
Yeah.
That you should only eat... You should only eat a double quarter pounder with cheese and a Diet Coke from McDonald's.
Yes.
That's like the golden food, no pun intended.
Yeah. No fruits, no vegetables, none of that healthy stuff.
None of that.
Just McDonald's. Yeah. The specific meal.
I love that it's a Diet Coke. Too.
Yeah, yeah, Diet Coke.
It's the holiest of meals.
Yeah.
By the way, he has about 5 followers.
But this guy really loves McDonald's.
Yeah, he can do commercials.
He says when you enter McDonald's, you enter a vortex of unconditional love. Which, you know, every time I go in McDonald's, I feel that.
Yeah, definitely. I never feel like the workers want to, you know, blow their head off for being there. They always seem so happy and cheerful.
I mean, that's good that he likes McDonald's.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we put ourselves out there. Like, we love Disney. I think it's different than McDonald's. It does invoke a different feeling in us, though. But
yeah.
I mean, I can't hate on the guy too much, but it is funny.
I mean, he's not harming anyone.
He's not.
Yeah.
Except for his own body. Eating McDonald's every day. So, yeah, I guess in the end, when you're actually watching one of these documentaries, it kind of takes you back and forth. So you're like, so the way we presented it, we didn't do that as much for you since we went through each story, but I'd say overall, I don't think breatharianism is a good option.
Yes, for I think a lot of people.
Yeah. Should we go through our tenets?
Sure.
So, charismatic leader.
I think so. Well, one of the, especially with Mr. Wiley, he was described as a smooth talker.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see, you know, him being charismatic. I mean, yes, a guy that can lift 10 times his weight, I'm sure that attracts a lot of people as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd say we'd have to look at this from the standpoint of there's not just been one leader. This has been many leaders throughout time.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, yeah, each one of them has been charismatic. Even our little, even though I'd say she's different, even our Naveena was charismatic in the way that she presented things.
Mm-hmm.
Alienation.
I feel like they didn't really alienate people, or there wasn't a group that they alienated themselves from.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like they would think that anyone can join it, their group. So I didn't think there was that.
I feel like if we look at it from like Michelle Pfeiffer's point of view, it seemed like she was with a specific group that was trying to alienate her. But outside of that, it seems more like something you could come and go from. It doesn't seem like, you know, a Jazz Mahin follower is being forced to be there.
Yeah.
Okay. Belief system?
Yes.
Yeah.
McDonald's.
McDonald's. Outside evil.
Food.
And sense of community.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, they have these, you know, festivals throughout the year. But yeah, it's not like they live in a commune.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say this one doesn't seem like a dangerous cult. Yeah. I could see where it gets the culty vibes, because if you go online, it is described in a lot of places as a cult. And under the definition of a cult nowadays, anything can be a cult. But yeah, I wouldn't say this is it. Well, I mean, let me rewind a little. I would say it's dangerous.
Yes.
And the harmful effects it has on your body. But I wouldn't say it's dangerous as in people are being forced to do this.
Yeah.
Like, most people do it because they want to, or they've come to it on their own.
Yeah. like, it's definitely a certain type of belief system, but I think there's like subgroups that could be culty or utilize it as a cult kind of thing. Cause yeah, like that one woman who was vomiting. I was just looking
up her name too.
Yeah. Like she was living with other Breatharian
Lonnie people, Morris.
Lonnie Morris there as well, who were enforcing this on her. So I can see that could kind of be culty, but overall, like if I heard someone saying, oh, I'm going to try Breatharianism, I wouldn't assume that they would be in a cult right away.
Yeah, I would just try to be sure to tell them, like,
eat.
Tell them, you know, get a professional to walk through it with you. Like, make sure to see your doctor regularly, because I don't know. I feel like I'm not going to try to dissuade someone, even though I don't believe in it, but just take care of yourself if you're going to do it.
Yeah. Know the facts.
Yeah, know the facts and make sure that you're healthy, because people have died from doing this, because I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like food.
Yeah. And a lot of these followers like food too. Like,
yeah.
Wiley.
It just really bothers me that there's people like Wiley Brooks out there who are going to claim to be Breatharians when they're not.
Yeah. Well, and like when you say that you fasted for 21 days, like, and all of a sudden you can't do it on TV.
Yeah.
It is questionable.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's funny, some of these other things that are referred to as breatharianism, like eating 300 calories a day, that doesn't seem like breatharianism to me anymore. It just seems like you're trying to do anything you can to keep this thing alive.
Yeah.
By kind of changing what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently, recently now, like, Jazz Muheen still, like, practices this in a bit, but she doesn't reference what she's doing as breatharianism. She actually, I forgot what the term she calls it. Oh, pranic living. She calls it that now. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was interesting. This was one we've been meaning to do for a while, actually, ever since we did the celebrity cult chapter I did with Vicky. We've had this on the list, but there's always been something else. So I figured since we're coming towards the end of our show, it would be a good time to finally get this one checkmarked.
Yeah. And you can check out Michelle Pfeiffer in Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Which is recent.
Which is good.
Yeah.
And she looks like she's been eating food.
Yeah, she eats now. She's just vegan now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool. So that brings us to the end of this show. Where can people find us?
Well, they can also find us on of course on Once Upon a Cult, but also Marvelous Galaxy of Disney, where we talk about Disney news and everything under the Disney umbrella.
Yay-os!
Yeah.
And you can find me on Solving for X. We have some exciting things going on there, as we are now in season 4 of X-Men, which is the best season. And you can catch me on Words of the Witches with Kevin, where we are about to cover the Charmed books that took place in between season 9 and 10.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening, Culties, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.